If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Sam Pamphilon.
Hello, Tom McCall. How are you?
I'm all right.
Nice to see you.
You too.
Been busy?
Yeah, I have. You know, eating my crisps and that.
Yeah.
I'd like to say to you...
Go on.
Merry fucking Christmas.
I just want to say Merry Christmas back. I don't think it needs a swear in the middle.
Wait, oh no, I shouldn't have said that, should I?
No.
Merry Christmas.
You said Mary.
Okay, right. Merry Christmas. I can't say Merry.
You can't say Merry, no.
It's like Marley-a-la-bone. You know that
Can you say
station?
Brewery? I can't say brewery.
Brewery. Mary LeBone.
My lips get in the way.
Say Mary LeBone.
It's not Mary LeBone.
Say what it is.
Marlebone.
Marlebone. Why is it... Anyway, Merry Christmas.
Mary LeBone Christmas.
Or should I say Merry Christmas?
Oh!
Thank you. We have a stellar guest for our Christmas...
Should we just write down all these words that you can't say?
We have a stellar guest for our Christmas special.
Yes.
Who... I think I should just crack on and introduce. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm very excited to see who it is. I mean, I can see who it is.
Yes, you can. He's sat opposite you. But anyway, this week's castaway is an actor, a comedian, a presenter, a political activist, a train rider, a moustache cultivator, an all-round good guy. You will all know him.
I'm trying to stay quiet till after the introduction, but that did sound like a threat. You will all know him by the trail of the dead.
Oh, the smell of the bodies. You will all know him. I've written this terribly. It's grammatically incorrect, Sam. Anyway, you'll know
Tom,
him.
Tom, you can't say it. We've already determined you can't say many words. Right, so I can't imagine you can write them down any better.
You'll all know him off the telly as the team captain on Argumental. Oh, or good. As celebrity juice stalwart, perchance as panel show royalty. You are.
Ooh,
you
no.
are.
No.
Yes, you no. are. He has also presented Top of the Pops. I never knew you presented Top of the Pops.
Oh, yeah.
What's that like?
It was right at the very end. I like to say I didn't kill it, but I was standing very near it when it died.
right. Fair enough. And Glastonbury as well.
Yeah.
That must have been fun.
It was, amazing.
What years were they? Glastonbury.
Probably 2006, 2007.
I went that year.
Me? No, I don't.
Jay-Z was headlining.
That year. Controversial. Huh?
Yeah, well, it felt less controversial when you actually stood in that field and everyone was going bananas.
Yeah.
It was racist. It was controversial, it was.
Yeah.
It was racist.
Yeah, fair news.
Let's just clarify that, though. The controversy was racist.
Yeah.
The booking Jay-Z, not racist.
No.
Sort of in many ways, the opposite of racist.
Yeah. I can't believe you booked her. So racist. White genocide hashtags.
This podcast's taken a real lurch to the right. You guys have seen the writing on the wall as a society and gone, lads, it's...
We've got it. We're going to have to side with our own kind, guys.
So, who is this mystery castaway? No one knows, Sam.
Everyone knows, Tom.
Everyone knows.
Everyone knows.
But anyway,
let me finish off. he's an actor as well.
You said that?
Yeah, but I'm such a good actor, it has to be mentioned twice.
I was coming back in twice. You're leading somewhere.
I'm leading somewhere. Just
don't. Well, if you'd left it out at the top, then you could have brought that in, and that would have been like a, oh.
As an actor.
Very good.
Is that better?
That's better, yeah.
Okay. As an actor, our castaway has starred in the West End, in the acclaimed One Man, Two Governors. He's also originated the role of Freddy in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, as well as playing Toad in Wind of the Willows. He can currently be found playing Sancho Panza in Don Quixote at the Garrick Theatre, playing second fiddle to the astonishing Tom McCall's highly acclaimed portrayal of Merchant 3, Guard 1 and Shepherd 2.
Ah,
Shepherd 2. That's a banger, isn't it?
Oh, that's
a tough role.
The process for Shepherd 2 is, I mean...
Did you not... You went out and became a shepherd,
didn't
you?
I became a shepherd, yeah, for 3 years.
Although, forgive me for this, you don't actually play a shepherd.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't?
Yes, I do, in the bit when...
Tom, you have to know this.
With the morning shepherds, you know?
No, you're meant to be intellectuals.
Yeah, but why am I dressed like a shepherd?
Tom, has this not come up before?
No, you're not dressed like a shepherd because the shepherds are dressed like shepherds. That's why they've got those big sheepskins
on. I've got a sheepskin on.
Tom, do you just think clever people look like shepherds?
Hey, I'm dressed like a shepherd with like a black thing over the top.
You're a morning shepherd.
See, I've always thought this
a morning
bit...
shepherd?
Wait, not a morning, an M-O-U-R-N-ing shepherd.
A sad shepherd?
Yeah. It's always been
Sam Shepherd.
Sam Shepherd.
Is he in it?
I've always thought it was a slight hole in the plot is that we're referred to as shepherds, but then throughout the scene we're referred to as scholars.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a hole in the plot necessarily, that you just haven't asked the question. Sorry, director, am I a shepherd or what?
Anyway.
I'd love it if you got to the end of the run and at no point were you supposed to be a shepherd.
I'm dressed like a shepherd.
Chewing a length of hair.
We found Tom's portrayal of Hamlet very odd to be.
Hamlet? I'm a shepherd. A fucking shepherd.
It's a bit shepherdy, wasn't it?
Why am I a shepherd?
Anyway, our castaway is, of course... Rufus Hound.
Hello.
Welcome. Rufus Hound!
God damn it,
that's a big one.
If there were applause, that's where to drop it in.
Everyone at home's going nuts.
Oh, is that how
you're
it
just
works?
People in the street with their headphones are going just clapping at nothing.
How are you, mate?
Very good.
Yeah.
It's nice to have washed up on your Christmas island.
Welcome.
You're very welcome.
Like Easter Island, but seasonally slightly east.
Better. Yeah. It's a better season.
West. Yeah. Better season.
But
I think there might even be a Christmas island somewhere in...
There is.
Is it near New Zealand or something?
Yeah.
Isn't that the one with all the big heads?
No, that's Easter Island.
Okay. Oh, Christmas Island's got the big turtle, tortoises.
What? Is it near the Galapagos?
I'm going to say yeah. So I'm sure you know, Rufus, but for any listeners who are new to the podcast...
I can't imagine there are any.
No,
mate, you're getting 60 million listeners domestic.
Yeah.
Domestic.
That's everyone, right?
Yeah.
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 Pretty much.
So I wouldn't have thought... anybody wouldn't know. But, I mean, fair enough.
Yeah, we want to push those worldwide numbers.
So we're on... this is it. We're breaking into China as we speak.
Yeah, into China.
This is for all our Chinese listeners.
I don't know if you're familiar with the Chinese law enforcement policies, but you might want to avoid breaking into China.
Oh, yeah. We're a magical isle.
Yep.
A magical isle where we live out our crisp dreams.
Yeah.
We are limited to 3 dreams.
Yeah.
Like all good dreams, there is...
A rule of three.
Really logical.
A triptych. Yeah.
It's more... the reason I have basically understand the rule of three... is it's you have to set something up and then confirm it and then
before
subvert
you.
It so that it's that if
it's
you
the did, quickest way to that
it's the quick it's the most efficient way to it. And if you've ever heard my dad tell any joke if you've ever cleared 2 weeks for that, then you'll be very grateful for the rule of three rather than the rule of 93.
Like father, that's, like son.
Yeah, quite. Where do you think I learned? So there's this goat, right?
Oh, don't start that.
No.
So there was a bit in this play. When was it cut? It was cut in rehearsals, right?
It was cut in rehearsals.
Was this the goat that you were shepherding? Is this why everything's become so confused?
Yeah.
Well, funny enough, actually, that is the point of the story. Is Sancho telling Don Quixote a story about a goat herd? No, a shepherd. No, a goat, and it's that. It's the permanent. Every time he starts getting into telling the story,
right.
He kind of corrects himself, and Don Quixote's getting. He's trying to be patient, but he's getting more and more and more cross until it ends with. So then, what happened? He's like, I don't remember. But the joke is it's gone on for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But when you're in a show that's already about 3 hours...
knocking on the door off.
You're ready to cut the joke about something going on.
It's nice that Tom, like, sort of life imitating art, has brought that sort of shepherd confusion into real life. Almost like he's missing the cut. Yeah. There.
So method, this guy. So freaking method.
Intros. So, Rufus.
Yeah.
Would you like to introduce to us your first Desert Island Crisp?
Drum roll. a bit of preamble first, because I should warn you both now, as I have to on any podcast or interview I've ever done. Can't actually answer a question without starting at the birth of the universe and working forwards. So fair. I could just say a name of a crisp, but I want to say, looking at them here and now, mm-hmm. I feel like these are very pedestrian.
No.
I mean, I think there's one big hitter in there. Not going to say what it is.
Yeah.
And I think the two others mark you out as something of a maverick.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I want the preamble. I want to know what they mean to you.
I was basically going to say that the fact that I think these are pretty straight down the line crisps, what I am going to offer you as crisp connoisseurs is the how you open a packet of crisps.
Okay.
So my first choice is beef monster munch.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Everyone loses their mind about pickled onion monster munch. Pickled onion. They're nice. Don't get me wrong. The sharp, acid kick-in of that pickled onion vinegar flavour. Lovely, you know. But roast beef monster munch, that's like hearty.
Yeah.
That's like a pint of beer instead of a vodka, lime and soda.
It's almost malty. Like, it's one of the few beef flavour crisps, because I find that meat crisps generally just taste brown. Like fecal, they're just kind of like a smudge. And they all taste the same. Whereas these, they got tang.
Yeah. Mm. Twiglets. See, I really like Marmite flavour and I like a Twiglet, but there's a limit to the number of Twiglets you can eat before you're just gammed up.
Yeah.
The back of your tongue, and if you've had your wisdom teeth taken out, there, that part, it all just becomes one kind of fleshy, solid, goopy, yeasty.
I am salivating at the side of my tongue, though. Just the thought of that Marmite ping.
Sometimes you have something tangy like Marmite, and I do something me and my wife call it cobraing. Oh, you know, your gland at the back is closed.
And you
spray liquid out.
Jetting, we call that in our house. You've been kind enough to supply a grab bag size of the... I realise they're officially roast beef monster munch, but they're just beef monster munch.
That's where the depth of the flavour comes from, Rufus.
But I watched a Chinese man on YouTube open a packet of crisps.
Oh, my Lord.
Of a grab bag size. Yes. And ever since I saw how he did it, I've never been able to open a sharing pack of crisps any other way. Okay, so you start by making a small tear in the top middle of the what would normally be the cover, I would imagine, of the bag of crisps. Just a little tear, right? You barely notice that.
Yes, thank you. I feel like you're doing a magic trick.
Yeah. Well, it will feel like a magic trick when you see how this works.
Is my wallet in there?
Then you start tearing it round on itself in
a
spiral.
A circular.
Right?
Oh my God.
In a spiral like so.
It looks like a packet of Huggies now, because, like, Huggy wipes.
Yeah.
This is what it feels like to find God.
And then you tear it back on itself like so.
Oh, shit.
And now you have got a shareable serving bowl.
Holy shit.
And it's not going to spill.
And it won't spill. And if the wind picks up, it won't blow it away.
You've blown my mind. Right.
Genuinely, that's amazing.
Right, let's crack on.
On the nose, I do like a whiff first. Ah, they do have a real deep scent to them, don't they?
A bit dirty as well, which I quite like.
I would call that type of fragrance a pong.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But a good pong.
Yeah, lovely pong.
Now, what I would say, right, and you have covered it slightly by mentioning the pickled onion monster munch. Roast beef monster munch, I see as a little bit as the Ringo Starr of the crisp world. Let me explain why. Firstly,
it's got a big nose.
The pack's yellow, and what was Ringo Starr famous?
Who's famously a yellow person?
So you think of Homer Simpson?
Yellow submarine. But more importantly, John Lennon was asked once, "Is Ringo Starr the best drummer in the Beatles?"
No, he was asked, "Is Ringo a good drummer? Best drummer in the world?
Is he the best drummer in the world?" And John Lennon's response was, "He's not even the best drummer in the Beatles." I have to say, I love Ringo Starr. I love roast beef Monster Munch. But pickled onion Monster Munch are the best drummer in the world.
Wow. Sorry.
I got the exact point he lost that is when he said pickled onion.
I've just got to take this call. Hello.
That made sense.
Oh, it's the stretched metaphor council.
Also, Monster Munch used to be big, and then they made them small, and everyone had a whinge, and they got big again.
Yeah.
And the Beatles are definitely two people smaller now.
Exactly. And I feel as though Ringo Starr put on quite a bit of weight.
Did he?
And then he lost it.
He's tiny now. He's all skinny now.
And he's put it back on, right?
Has he?
No.
Tom, where is this going?
I just saw a video of him playing with Paul McCartney at the... I think it was at the O2.
Playing with him?
That wasn't the video
really
I saw.
The old days.
That video may exist. But no, I was very impressed that... I think there is, as much as I'm all for body positivity, and many of my favourite bands are led by quite voluminous fellows, Tenacious D, to name but one.
Yes.
I do sort of think if you're in a rock band, you have to be skinny. I think it's just one of those...
You have to be ill-looking.
Well, yeah, like...
Yeah.
It's the only reason the Stones are allowed to carry on. If they're all fat, no one will go and see them.
Yeah, like when you see Jeff Lynne, you know, it's like, again, brilliant musician, wrote incredible music, but when you actually see him, you go, yeah, well, you're just like an old bloke, whereas rock stars are meant to be kind of people who are so blisteringly talented that they're not from Earth.
Yeah.
That the laws of nature affect them differently and that they are able to see and sing and be.
It doesn't matter if their face gets wrinkly and old, as long as they still have this weird teenage body.
Yeah.
Like Ronnie Wood.
Yeah.
He's a little twig man.
Yeah. Keith Richards, Mick Jagger.
Little bird people.
Yeah.
Leather-faced bird people.
Do you know what? They're all dark crystal, aren't they?
Yeah.
We've had this before. What are they called? The crunk chuck chuckers. What are they all?
You what? In dark crystal?
The people, they're called...
In Dark Crystal?
Yeah.
You know, they're making a film?
They're remaking
it. And who's in it?
Or a sequel? I don't know. I just saw some stills on Twitter this
week. They're making a live action...
This is why these are like Ringo Starr.
Go on.
It's a popular opinion that Ringo Starr isn't a very good drummer. But amongst drummers, quite a few will say that actually the things that he played were really, really inventive and good.
Yeah.
So... Look, I'll tie this up. I'll tie this motherfucker up and embarrass you now, Tom.
Hey,
so, Monster Munch are the Ringo.
Yeah.
Because no one really thinks they're good.
Yeah.
Those who know.
True.
True. Hey.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not... I love roast beef Monster Munch.
Yeah.
I love Ringo Starr. At no time was I trying to...
Diminish.
...speak badly of such a thing. I'm just saying, they happen to be from the realm... That includes the pickled onion Monster Munch.
Right, I get
you. Yeah, but hang on. So this is the... Well, look, I mean, of course, everything is subjective, right? Mm-hmm. But in that analogy, yes, pickled onion also exists.
Hang on, what other flavours? You got Flaming Hot.
Yeah.
What else is there?
That's it.
So you got two...
There used to be more, though, right? I've got a feeling there was a bigger range.
Those two are lead singers, aren't they? Flaming Hot, pickled onion, that's John and Paul. So you can kind of understand, they're pushed to the front.
Yeah.
This does work. Tom, you were right.
Yeah,
you were right. I'm sorry, I take it back.
Hey.
But I wonder, though, for me, at least, maybe roast beef is not Ringo, it's George.
Yes, it's George!
Yeah, right.
It is George.
Because, actually, with everything that Paul McCartney's done, and I have bought Paul McCartney's recent work, and really like it.
You know we're recording this.
Yeah. No, there was an album that came out 10 years ago. It had one of the songs in it was, Would You Like to Sip With Me? Primitive, we should be. It was, Peradventure, we will play. It was like, I really enjoyed that album. I like Paul McCartney. John Lennon, obviously, icon, everything he was talking about in terms of peace, you know, and how it could be more than just being in a rock band. Kind of set the blueprint for how... Rock and roll stars and pop stars. Let's be honest, the Beatles started out, they were pop stars.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Like, where that journey takes you, actually, you begin to the way that you live your life, you outgrow where you started, even though your fans haven't gone on that same journey with you, because they're not multimillionaires going to ashrams and learning how to play the sitar and whatever else. So when you actually break down who the Beatles are, it was George Harrison that funded the Monty Python movies.
Did he?
Yeah.
And of all the things that you could do with your money, if you're a Beatle, to start handmade films, I think he also was the money behind Withnail and I.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So actually, you can say, oh, look, it's the, oh, flaming hot, oh, pickled onion. Actually, lads,
in the background, pulling the strings.
What's actually being done and what roast beef is actually doing is giving you a beefy mouthfeel that you will cherish. Yeah. Long after the acid tang of pickled onions worn off, long after the chemical, let's be honest, the chemical burn of flaming hot. Mm. It's not, you don't pop that in your mouth and go, well, that's a lovely natural flavour.
Oh, what is that? Tomato? Peppers?
Yes, no. Whereas that beef flavour isn't trying to clobber your tongue. Mm. It's just giving you like a cup of Bovril.
Yeah.
It's that like, oh, it's, I feel nurtured, I feel cherished.
Sold. But I would say that is the feeling that I want from my accompaniment. That's what I want from my sandwich. That kind of hug.
Yeah.
And for the crisps on the side, that's what, you know, that's the lingerie.
But what do you drink?
Loads of things.
Okay, but like, you're going to a pub.
All right. Oh,
I'm
lager.
Getting them in.
Lager.
So you're drinking lager. Yeah. Right, there you go. There's your problem right there.
Oh, right, I'm drinking the wrong drink.
Yeah, because you've already got kind of fizzy, fresh, almost watery kind of thing going on. Whereas if you drink like beer, actually something a bit more kind of yeasty and meaty down in the bottom notes.
Pork scratchings.
Like a pork scratching.
Yeah.
Those really posh pork scratchings that they've started to do, you know, I forget what they're called now, but with silver packets.
Mr. Porky, but they're not Mr. Porky.
Yeah, the common ones.
No, they're like artisanal, you know, hipster pork scratchings. Yeah. But my God, they're good.
Yeah, are they like the hairy ones?
No, that's it. It's all like these things have been cut in a certain way,
the
scored,
best bits,
and then they're done in oil, not whatever else. Or whatever.
I think you're implying that my palate is limited, and I'll go with you on that. Because I found some pork scratchings the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Salt and vinegar pork scratchings.
Whoa.
They were out of this world. I've only found them in one pub.
I like the sound of that.
They're amazing.
I like a salt and vinegar peanut.
Luck was my favourite thing. Yeah.
What about those Sahara peanuts that they had everywhere?
In the thing at the end of the bar. Oh, my God.
Which ones are they?
Oh, dude, they're so bad. They come in a little cup.
It was a peanut in a, I'm going to say,
in like a heated coffin or something.
Oh!
But the actual coating, I've got a feeling, was like some like crushed rice pulp.
Yeah, right.
That was then baked. So the outside was like super crunchy. And then the nut on the inside, but it was like,
Is that what Americans would call beer? Is that what Americans would call beer nuts?
No, I think, maybe. I have no idea. My impression is that a beer nut is a deep fried corn kernel.
Oh,
I think those are beer nuts, but could well be wrong about that as well.
All sounds good. I think we're all in some state of agreement that roast beef Monster Munch are pretty good.
Yeah, they're banging. They'd be in my top 12.
That's good. I like crisp, man.
No,
I would love to say that to a lady one time.
You are my
that was in my top 12.
That bout of sexual intercourse just made my hot dozen.
They have an earthy, homely warmth to them that I don't think you can find anywhere else in a crisp.
That is the one thing I absolutely would say about a roast beef Monster Munch. I've never eaten another crisp that tasted like a roast beef Monster Munch.
Yeah, no. Yep.
Whereas pickled onion, Space Raiders, those pickled onion. No, but you know what I mean? Like you eat and you go, oh yeah, it's not a million miles away. And even the supermarket own brand versions of like puffed maize snacks, pickled onion, whatever that flavour is, it's like, oh, that's just standard.
It's pretty ubiquitous. Whereas you feel like they've kind of gone off.
I feel that's got a very specific combination of whatever the dust they push on it is.
It's just dried cows. There's drier cows. Yeah, they dehydrate an entire cow and just grate it like with a fine grate.
Like Parmesan.
Yeah, exactly. It's like someone just comes to the table with like a hunk of kind of like that. Shaves it over like a truffle.
Some raw cow, sir?
Oh, yes, please.
Say when. Yeah. Keep it going. Hey, slight side note. Have you ever been to an Italian restaurant and the guy's like grating Parmesan on you and looking at you waiting to say when? And you're like, hey, I love Parmesan. Yeah. You're gonna go through a couple of these before I say no. But then there's like, they're clearly doing that thing because Parmesan's expensive, where they're like, come on, dude, like, help me out here.
Because there's a point where they tap the cheese on the thing and go, okay. Yeah. That's enough.
But in the old days, they'd bring you a little dish with a teaspoon, the dried stuff.
My parents always had that.
Yeah,
I bloody love that stuff.
Yeah.
Salt and fat.
Put loads on, stir it through. It didn't melt.
No.
You just have that white freckles, speckles all the way through it.
How are you doing cheese pasta?
Well, my mac and cheese, yeah. Have you ever had crab in your mac and cheese?
No, you've lost me.
Trust me.
Don't get me wrong, I know we're on a desert island and that you're utilising...
Not even cooked, just a live crab just sat on top of the macaroni cheese.
Or lobster.
I've seen that on menus and
works.
No, it's that crab flavour. It's exactly that fish flavour that I don't like.
Okay. I only like the white meat. I don't like the brown meat.
Oh,
love
the brown meat.
I love it brown.
No,
love the brown.
No.
Tastes like feces.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the guts. I like the head. Yeah.
No.
Surely it's a bechamel, added cream, then put in some parmesan, some cheddar, whatever else, however dirty you want to make it.
Yeah.
Mustard.
Maybe something a bit of mustard, maybe some taleggio to make it kind of stringy. Fried up bacon bits.
Don't get me wrong, fellas. Both brilliant suggestions, but wrong.
Okay.
All you do... Big pan of pasta, as much as you can eat. And look at me, that's quite a lot, right?
I need so much pasta.
And then butter, straight on the hot. So drain the pasta out.
Uh-huh.
Big wedge of butter right on the top. And then the gummiest, maturest cheddar cheese you can get.
No sauce, just straight
on. Grate it straight on. Like a brick of cheese, grate it in.
And it'll make a little sauce with the butter
and the
water.
Heat of the pan with the cheese melty and the butter. Of all of those, like, in the last 5 years, everyone's doing mac and cheese. You can't go to a restaurant without it being their version of a mac and cheese. Of all of them I ever had, the supermarket, like, Cathedral City, extra strong, whatever that was.
It's
like,
the nation's favourite cheese.
£2 for, you know, a ton of it. Butter, pasta, honestly, never had better cheesy pasta than just straight.
I'm gonna make
up
my kids that.
Cheese.
I'm sick of cooking for them, and I'm not appreciating.
We're talking
that.
The whole block. Cheese on.
Well, until you reach the point where you're like, oh, I'm now guaranteeing a coronary.
Yeah.
Until the waiter that you've employed taps the cheese on the ground and goes, okay.
Your internal Italian chef taps the inside of your skull.
You have to. This has to stop.
Hey there, buddy.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm ready to get my Seconde Piatti snack on.
Hey, do you want to break this up with a little bonus round?
Yes. Why the hell not?
Okay, over here, I have got prêt-à-manger, just straight up sea salt crisps. Okay. Why are these special? Any guesses?
Because they're not. Because
they made the potato picture on the front look like a fish?
No.
Hand-cooked?
No.
They're not made from potato?
No.
They're perfectly crunchy crisps?
No.
Go on.
You stole them from a homeless man.
Oh, now it's who they belong to is the is what makes them special.
So these are not your crisps.
These are not my crisps.
Do these crisps belong to a famous person?
They do belong to a famous person.
Does that famous person know that you have their crisps?
I don't think they do.
Oh, shit.
Shit just got real.
Is this famous person within 200 yards of us right now?
No.
Is this person a comedian?
Yes, amongst other things.
Okay.
Although I think history will remember them as a writer.
These are David Mitchell's crisps.
They are not David Mitchell's.
They are Robert Webb's crisps.
They are not Robert
Damn
Webb's
it.
Crisps.
Oh.
But they are David...
Williams!
They are David Williams' crisps.
That. Why have you got David Williams' crisps?
They did an event here to launch his new book one Sunday, and they used this dressing room. And when I came back, he, entirely off his own bat, had left me a copy of his new book, two copies of his new book, signed to each of my children.
Oh!
And also, when I moved the sofa, found that packet of crisps.
Oh, well, let's eat them, shall we?
Let's eat his crisps.
Let's taste what a David Williams crisp tastes like.
Yeah, this is...
What do crisps taste like for millionaires?
Okay, well, I mean, this is the kind of crisp that I deride quite openly.
Yeah. That immediately needs a beer. Because yeah. it's just...
It needs something, that's for sure.
Yeah. It is just salt and fat and crispiness.
What I used to do when we only had salt, ready salted left in the house, I used to open the bag up and pour malt vinegar in, shake them, and then just eat them all wet.
Yeah. What's wrong with you, Sam?
I really like vinegar.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know.
Do you know who doesn't have salt and vinegar on their fish shop chips?
Who?
Yeah, Scum.
Because what you say, you're not removing, you're not, oh no, I'd like them to stay crunchy. They're not fucking crunchy anyway. No. It's just shaped mash.
Yeah.
Just get the vinegar
with a light crisp.
Yeah, with some oily bits.
Yeah. But it's the salt vinegar that's a making of a chip shop chip.
I remember our friend Phil came round to my house once when we were about 14, 15. My dad had a couple of light ales.
Right.
And Phil, we had a roast dinner. Phil refused the gravy bowl on his roast. For starters. And then only eats the stalk of broccoli. He leaves the floret. So in his dry ass roast dinner with his stalky broccoli, my dad absolutely rinsed him.
I bet. Absolutely right.
Yes, of course.
And the thing is, if you met Phil, you wouldn't say, oh, that's a no gravy person. You'd say, I bet that guy floods it.
Yeah.
I'm seeing him later on. You know he has gravy now?
Because my dad absolutely rinsed him, that's why.
He just started having gravy.
The only time I can remember eating so much that I physically couldn't stand was because of gravy.
Oh, yeah.
Went to Hawksmoor.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, the real deal.
Yes.
With my sister-in-law and her other half, Molly and Nursi. Nursi's a Persian name, and it's taken me about this long in my life to not find that funny.
Yeah, okay.
but my wife, Molly and Nursi, and we went to Hawksmoor and we got well stuck and we like got as much meat as, you know, they do like the specials board and then you can go, oh, actually, can you bring us four big steaks, but we'll have a T-bone and we'll have this and then we'll split them up and there's four of us and then we'll try the different cuts and have different preparations.
Sort of a blood pressure Olympics.
Yeah.
Kind of thing,
yeah.
You can get there for you.
To an extent.
Yeah, until you can see it in your neck.
Yeah, so we ordered four steaks that were big enough to feed eight people, but there were only four of us. And it was a Sunday, so they have a kind of a gravy. I mean, it is a gravy, really, when you actually look at it, but no corn flour in it to thicken it up, very thin gravy. Mm. Oh my God, this gravy was so good that I asked for more of it so that I could eat more of the steak, ate all the steak, then asked for some bread.
Yeah.
Because there was now extra gravy.
Yeah.
They bought more bread, so then I needed more gravy. And literally...
You're in the cycle.
By the end of it, I was so full that I couldn't breathe deeply enough because I pushed so much room out of my body that lungs are meant to be in that I couldn't properly oxygenate to generate the energy to actually stand. And just sat there for a full 25 minutes just banging the table trying to kind of pump blood around my system to make room for my lungs.
All of your organs had retreated to your arms.
One lung on one side. That's why they inflate so rapidly.
The best part of a Christmas dinner, tying it all in,
for me, it's not the sit-down bit where you eat it and you're kind of like, this is nice, and you get a bit full. It's that bit where you're in the kitchen, it's all been cleared away, it's on the side, and you just grab a roast potato and there's a pot of gravy and you dip it in so your fingers go in, and then you start making yourself little mini roast dinners.
Yeah.
And at this point, you don't know how much you've eaten. So in a weird way, it's kind of free.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, there's no more calories. And so you get a little bowl and you're like, I'll just put a roast potato in there, and you think, oh, I'll put a little bit. And you sort of mash it up, and then you pour the gravy on and you eat it with a teaspoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, for me, is the best bit.
Yeah. I'm close to you on that. In that you eat the full Christmas dinner, lovely, stuffed, could not eat another thing. Do all the washing up.
In front of you, people.
And then take it all, put it on the side in the kitchen, and then about 10 o'clock, like, just a little something.
Mm. It's like the tiniest little bit of room opens in your tummy, and you're like...
You get thick white bread, and you basically put an entire second Christmas dinner into that, with the heat up the gravy... Could I even eat that with a knife
and fork? With mayonnaise?
No mayonnaise. Oh, but, and I know that this is not necessarily the done thing, but my God, it's good.
Yeah.
Like a reasonably thick couple of slices of cheese in the white bread with all of that, like, just, it's melty. Really just salty, creamy. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I love cheese. I ate so much cheese on Sunday. Do you know those little toasts, like the fruit, like the posh cheese crackers?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they're linseed and cherry. And there's a cheese shop in Teddington. We were meeting some mates in the pub in Teddington, walked past this really posh cheese shop, and went in there and went, have you got any Gorgonzola Dolce? Do you know Gorgonzola Dolce? Really milk. Well, this is it. He said, yes, we do. How many scoops do you want?
Oh my God.
Because they keep it at exactly the kind of perfect temperature.
It's just liquid.
So you get a pot and they scoop it like ice cream.
Oh my Lord.
And I said, I'm going to go for a 3-scooper. And he was like, good lad. Yeah. he was...
In a fucking cone.
He was... So then I bought a box of those linseed and cherry crackers as well. Had a couple of... Well, we were meeting mates at the pub. Big Christmas thing. Loads of kids. There were like 35 of us.
Nice.
Got home that night, having eaten all this food. Like, I'll just have a little snack. Oh, we bought that cheese. Oh, I'll have a little bit of that.
Just a...
Bought out the pot, bought out the thing. So that I'll take that into the front room, just because I'm only going to have two or three. But I don't want to, like...
Might as well take everything,
I don't want to decant everything. That's just more washing up, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I just take them in. Did the whole box of crackers.
Yes.
There's literally, I think, about a third of a scoop of Gorgonzola Dolce.
I can't believe you left
that
third of a scoop. I want it.
Well, because it's that middle class thing. As long as you don't eat all of it, then you're being polite.
I was having a weird conversation the other day. I've had to eat for a dare, like before, like big slices of goat's cheese and Stilton and things like that. Now, if you have a slice of something like a nice sort of blue cheese or a goat's cheese or something like that, and you have to put it all in your mouth and eat it, it would be quite sickly and you would feel a bit kind of grossed out. It wouldn't be that pleasurable. Yeah. But if you stick the tiniest, thinnest, almost barely there cracker, you can have so much fucking cheese on top of it and you go, that's fine.
Yeah.
It takes so little cracker to make a whole lot of cheese work.
Yeah.
And I just thought, that the other day, I was like, that's amazing. It's, it's just really made, just like...
It's funny because actually I like cheese so much that really, I did consider, actually, one of the two remaining flavours could have been jettisoned in flavour of a mini cheddar.
Big talk.
But
now, is a mini cheddar a crisp, Sam?
Yes.
Is it not a cracker?
No, it's not in the cracker aisle, mate. It's in the crisp aisle.
I just think of it in terms of pub. If it's behind the... Because I would argue...
Yeah, no one comes back with a sort of a tube of water biscuits, do they?
No. There you go.
Come back with mini cheddars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or how do you feel about Ritz sandwiches?
Oh, with the dirty
process.
The cheese moment stuff. I love them.
I can't do them.
I love them.
Oh, you see, I don't like milk. And I find them. This keeps coming up.
I love that you don't like milk.
This keeps coming up. But like, they're just like, it's like ice cream, but without the sugar.
It's like ice cream.
It's like salty ice cream.
Yes, that's what. Yeah.
And, I don't know. No, it's not for me.
Yeah, no, I like a cheese moment. I like the dirtiness of a cheese moment.
Yeah.
Really is a moment.
Well, and the cheese moment, very much the sister crisp to my second selection.
Segway.
Nice. He's done this before, hasn't he? What a pro.
Which is the scampi fry.
Hola.
scampi fries.
Again, I would normally open this in the style of open the other because these are a pub table crisp.
They are.
But
they're dinky bags.
Go on. Oh, the small
bags. Before we open that one, what I like to do with scampi fry, firstly, I would open it from the bottom.
Why?
Because the flavour's congregated there.
Okay.
And so you're kind of redistributing it. And then I can't open it without getting the guff. It's what I call the guff.
Oh, yeah.
Your breather inner? Oh, no. Too much. Oh,
love it.
Now you've made this weird.
The dirty knickers of the crisp oil.
No. Always tear the bag on a scampi fry, though.
Oh, I can never do that. I can't do it. So I'm rubbish at it.
Just to make them into a flat plate, like that.
What a smell. What a smell. A wiggity wiggity rinse up.
They're quite lemony at the beginning.
Okay. Sam, let Rufus talk us through the flavour profile. Ads, do you want one?
Yes, please.
There you go.
Well, let's be honest. Right, so what are they trying to replicate? That's where you've got to start, isn't it?
Oh, my God. So I just thought of something I shouldn't have thought of. And said what they're trying to replicate.
Not that. They're trying to replicate scampi.
Yes.
Which is... Is it...
Longestine.
Well, no, scampi that you would get in any pub now wouldn't be. It was for a long time monkfish, the end of monkfish tail.
Cheap fish, basically, isn't it?
And then everything goes up. So then it just becomes whatever is...
Unfashionable.
White sea-based protein in a breadcrumb.
Yeah, some sort of bottom-dwelling arachnid-type water creature.
A shit-eater. So scampi really is the breadcrumbs on the outside.
Yeah.
The internal meat does have a bit of flavour to it, but as we've established, it could be any one of a number of things. You wouldn't necessarily go, it has to specifically be one thing. So actually, I think that what scampi fries do is that they really replicate the smell of a chip shop.
Yeah.
Because that is the association that we all really have with scampi. It's always scampi and chips, which is why they're called scampi fries. Mm-hmm. That it's really salt and vinegar. Oh. And then the twist that they put on it is, I think it's a citric acid rather than an acetic acid.
I'd never noticed the acidic twist to a scampi fry.
Well, for me, like there was a pub in Norfolk where we used to go when we were young. We always get scampi and fries in a basket from there, and parents would sit and chat and we'd go play in the garden. And it was always like a little basket of scampi, wedge of lemon, some tartar sauce.
Yeah.
And this gets that that's for me.
It's in the right ballpark.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
But that's what crisps have to do. They don't have to nail it exactly. They have to just kind of land in your sense memory a little bit.
I would wholly agree with that. But it's amazing how rare it is that they get that right.
They're fucking idiots. These crisp people are idiots.
Every time the Walkers do one of their big. It's a big new flavour competition, and we've got spaghetti bolognese and chicken tikka.
And it's just beef.
You taste it, you're like, it doesn't taste anything like
those. You do
those
a blind
things.
Test on it, you're like, absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
Now, these are one of my choice, Rufus.
This is a top threer.
Mm-hmm.
You know Cheesy Moments, right? From the same people, right? Cheesy Moments?
Yeah.
Smith's.
They've got like an inside to them. They've got like a substance in them. Am I imagining that? Have they got like a soft middle?
They do. They have a cheesy middle. Cheesy moments. They've got a little cheesy cream middle like in the middle of the Ritz crackers.
How would you feel about a little soft centre to these that is a little bit, you know, seafoody, maybe like a little, like a mousse inside.
Like a mousseline.
You know what would go in the middle of a scampi fry perfectly, actually, is shrimp primula.
How has this passed me by?
Oh my God, primula, it's like cheese, it's fancy, right?
Squirty cheese in a tube like toothpaste.
Okay.
My mum loves it, and they don't make the shrimp one anymore.
They used to have a shrimp.
Because weirdly, that shrimp cheese puree in a toothpaste tube apparently wasn't as popular as it used to be. God, that is exactly right.
I mean, personally, I wouldn't mess with the scampi fry. I don't know. I don't want nothing in my scampi fry.
It wouldn't be an improvement, but if you were going to try to make a kind of cheese moment similar, in terms of there's a squidge and a whatever else.
Actually, because you've got that crunch, it's a harsh crunch on a scampi fry.
Yeah. I think you could cut your mouth you could cut the roof of your mouth with a scampi fry.
If you put them in a sandwich and one was upright by mistake, you could definitely hurt your soft palate.
In fact, I just tried sucking it. Don't try that, boys.
Not good?
I'm going to try it now.
It's abrasive.
Like a lozenge. I'm going to suck it like a lozenge. Oh, it's hard.
They're not to be sucked.
No.
No, don't suck them.
The joy of that is that it's so crunchy.
Yeah.
And if you suck it and it starts to yield...
And then you actually taste it, it's like an oyster. Do you know what I mean? You've got to bang that thing down.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So but of course, texture? Oysters, you know, what are you putting on an oyster? Vodka or lemon? Like sharp
shrimp primula.
Tabasco. Should you say Tabasco?
Yeah. They're the shallot, red wine shallots.
Yeah. Onion, yeah, love it.
So you don't taste the thing, that's why.
No, yeah, but you do. Like the oyster, it's not that you chew it, it's that the flavour it gives you, it's basically the sea.
Yeah.
It's that beautiful, overwhelming flavour of seawater.
My problem with oysters, right, once I was in a pub and I had a swig of beer left in my pint. I was playing pool with this fella. And he went like that.
Oh, God.
And he spat his greenie into my pint, thinking it was finished. I took the shot.
No, no. Oh!
Picked up the pint.
Oh, no.
And every time I have an oyster, it reminds me of that moment.
That guy.
And I can't do it. Can't do it.
No, that's... Well, that is fair enough.
Yeah. So, Sam, scampi fries.
Love a scampi fry, but hey-ho, I prefer knick-knacks, scampi and lemon.
Do you know what? I had some of them the other day, and you are wrong, Sam.
Am I?
You are wrong.
Am I? Well, I didn't have some the other day, so I might be.
No, they have not, they have not aged as you imagine they have. Yeah, really? They're like, I don't know whether they're just worse now or whether when we were younger...
Because they've got the guff, man. They've got the good guff.
They're not as good as... They are nowhere near... They're not even in the same band. Like, we're talking about Ringo Starr and blah,
Let's
blah,
not
blah.
Go there again.
Like, these are the John Lennon of the bar snack. Your scampi and lemon knick-knacks. I'm talking...
You're saying...
You're saying scampi fries Nirvana, scampi and lemon knick-knacks, a Bush.
Bush. Bush keep coming up in our podcast as well.
Do they?
The rock band Bush.
Do they?
I seem to remember you saying that at some point.
The Gavin Rossdale-fronted Bush.
Yeah. The rock band Bush.
The rock band Bush.
Well, Gavin Rossdale's the rock band Bush.
Yes. I think they're a wonderful
choice. How you write a children's book. Walliams, no. With your boring crisps. Oh, the rock band Bush. Oh, yeah. Someone draw it. Go on, someone just go and draw that, what I've written down.
Oh, God, they're good. Thank you. Thank you for picking those with us.
You're very welcome.
Would you like
Should we have more Coke Zero? Or would you like a posh vegan beverage?
Coke Zero, thanks. What is that?
This is cucumber, mint, and with a pinch of pepper. I forget which pepper it is now.
Cayenne
pepper, that's it.
Hey, I'll try it, if that's okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Thank you very much.
I'll have Coke Zero, please.
That says everything you need to know about this drink.
No,
would you like to try this vegan drink?
That I got for free.
Zero. I really like them, which is why I buy them. But I'm just in the mood for Coke Zero after the... these are...
Oh, this is one I tried the other day.
Really fresh, very refreshing.
They come in a gin and tonic can as well.
Which is great for working at the theatre because everyone assumes you're just getting a couple of bevvies in you before the show.
Oh, I like that. I could pretend that's booze.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got that about it. Yeah. The cayenne gives it a little kick.
Ah. Oh, yeah.
In fact, they're called Nicks and Kicks.
Nicks
and I like them very much.
Nicks and kicks.
Yeah.
And we like them very much.
When I was in the Palladium, it was the first time I came across them, and I emailed them, and they agreed to sell me a case of it at cost price.
Ah.
So I feel like, you know, they were kind enough to me at one point. Yeah, I could give them...
What were you doing there? You were doing...
Winning the Willows.
Winning the Willows?
Yeah, the Palladium.
I don't know. A star with your weight, I'd have expected a free...
They should have sent them. They should have sent them free.
I think they couriered it over.
Oh, I'd feel it.
Cayenne pepper, hotter than you think.
Yeah.
Very easy to put too much into stuff and think that it's just like a paprika. Mm. It's not. It'll kick your... Ass.
You know what else is very easy to put too much in? Is, you know, like, we've all got a mate who is the least functional human being that you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then they get older and then they have kids and get married and you're like, "You, what are you doing? You're Sam. Hello, Sam.
Hi, how you doing?
So he decided his contribution would be he would get better at cooking. But because he's, like, a video game playing, like, editor, very technical, very... He's like, none of this, like, organic, yeah, look at my knife skills. He's not that guy. He's like, how do you just make it taste great? Oh, I see, you add MSG and flavour enhancers and all sorts. Yes. And he bought an industrial amount of this particular flavour enhancer, and he couldn't find it for anywhere for less than, I think it was something like £300. And it came in, like, a litre tub box. But everything that he knew that this flavour enhancer did, he's like, that's what you want. So he was working it out and whatever, and it said how much to put in, but he just ignored that bit. No. And he just put, like, half a teaspoon in.
Yeah.
Stirred it in, you know, whatever else, lovely. And he said it was like eating dog shit. It was like literally, the moment it touched his wife's mouth, they were like,
oh my God.
And it turns out the reason this whole tub is like 300 quid is you are meant to put in like micrograms of whatever it is, and it does sort of various things to the receptors on your tongue, but like once you tip over that scale,
so it's like a scientific
it goes
thing.
It's a total,
touches a certain tongue receptor and dish. And if you drink a pint of the stuff,
if you overload on whatever that is, your brain just goes,
that's feces.
Apparently MSG's not that bad. It just works the same way as salt does. It's just a bit more efficient.
Yeah, that's
I read an article about it. Everyone's like, we kind of bad-mouth it a lot, but it's...
And the argument is actually that there's a racial element to it. Native companies making what was, you know, new frozen foods and whatever else. So now we're going to do chop suey.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a Chinese dish. It was totally invented for Europeans, but it sort of makes
it's called chop suey.
Exactly. So that's what that is. And now we're going to do chicken curry. Mm. You know, it was basically all these frozen food companies to try and make it taste nice, put in MSG. And then everybody built this thing going, oh, it's too much MSG. And it was basically an extension of, yeah, I wouldn't eat that foreign muck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that MSG got tied to, which was absolutely nothing to do, because as we all know, when you go and eat Indian food, it's like the freshest ingredients, because it's all grown. If you eat Indian food in India, it's it's all about how fresh it is.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with MSG at all. I think it's slightly different in China. Yeah. I think there is a bit more. They really love it.
They get their salt flavours from other places, so there's no point in them adding salt. So they just enhance it with MSG.
Watched a fascinating documentary about a Chinese salt market the other day.
Blown me out of the water, isn't it? Unless the story's about this guy kind of going, no, fuck, soy sauce. They got soy sauce. This is a big mess.
It was more that they've just got very many... When they don't go and buy salt, it's like, no, it's this type of salt or that type of salt how the salt process is made. I think it's on Netflix, and I think it's based on a very successful cookbook called... Salt, acid, heat,
yes.
And something else. And on Netflix, they did an hour on each of the four. And the salt one, I'm thinking I'm probably going to end up being massively racist. I don't think it was Chinese salt market. I think it might have been a Japanese salt market, thinking about it.
I wish that you said not Chinese, it was German. Like, that would have been confusing. Yeah, yeah.
Would you like to lead us on to your third choice, please?
I mean, frankly, if crisps operated like Highlander...
Okay, I'm interested to see where this goes.
Then, gentlemen, there can be only one.
Right.
And if there were only one, this is the one.
Yeah,
yeah. It is, of course, Walker's Salt and Vinegar Squares.
You're not the first person to have said that, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, this is the greatest crisp.
Do you know what? Since we've been doing this podcast, we've had... How many people pick squares, Salt and Vinegar Squares?
I think squares have been the most popular pick, isn't it?
Say about four people, right? And we bought the bags. These look pretty good.
They look good, nice and pale.
But quite often we found recently, they're not as reliable as they used to be.
Because they were always
discuss.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
But I would also say that if I eat 100 packs of Salt and Vinegar Squares a year, then... Yeah. 90 of them are exactly what I want.
90% hit rate. I mean...
I know what you mean. Sometimes they're just not quite done.
They're a bit overflowing.
They're a bit overdone, a bit overthrown.
They're a good bag, yeah. You can tell they're pale, they're crunchy.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Tom, maybe you just...
It's lacking something for me.
I think after a scampi fry...
That's what it is.
It's going to feel lesser.
Yeah. It doesn't have that same twang that it does do normally.
That's it, because a scampi fry is, of course... An acid and a salt.
If you were doing a tasting menu of crisps, you wouldn't follow scampi fries with salt and vinegar squares.
Would one be able to describe a scampi fry as having an umami flavour, Sam? You always use that word. I don't always fully understand what it actually is.
It's the taste of savouriness.
Like anchovies, right? Have an umami quality.
Well, they can add umami. They themselves, they are salt. But they add a kind of a richness or something.
Mm-hmm.
It would give you umami.
I bought a pot of umami from the supermarket the other day.
Yeah.
What did I buy?
Fuck knows. I didn't know it was a thing.
Oh, yeah, you can... there's a whole range. I bought umami-enhanced tomato paste.
Ooh.
And you stick it in, you know, basically just a straight-up pasta. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just doing a bit of tomato pasta. Oh, yeah, boy!
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that'll do you.
Really?
Yeah, even, you know, you don't have to do anything truly fancy to make pasta and sauce. I mean, you got one kid?
Two.
You got two. So you're going to spend three and...
Four.
Yeah, so you're already making
a lot of... Don't ask me their names.
So you're already making a lot of pasta and sauce.
Oh, I make a lot of pasta, throw away a lot of pasta.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
But the little squidge of umami, of that umami tomato paste, it's...
Where are you getting that?
Well, I mean, you've got to remember, I'm very middle class, so Waitrose.
Oh,
all right, that's okay. I can go into a Waitrose. I'm allowed in a Waitrose.
Well, I didn't say you weren't allowed.
Just for our listeners at home, we opened two bags of squares. I just had one from the second bag, and it's much better than the first bag.
Oh, man, I've eaten first bag.
All right.
Try one of them.
Well, do you get me? Bag two is twice as good.
Yeah, that is twice as good as that.
Yeah.
I think that's literally the amount of dust.
Yeah.
Always. It's always the amount of dust.
It's just literally the amount of flavouring on it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a really fresh salt and vinegar flavour as well. Like, it's really... When you put salt and vinegar on chips, the smell is better than the taste.
Yeah.
Like, someone walks past you with chips and you go, oh, my God, it's the smell of the vinegar. The hot vinegar hitting the hot. And it's kind of what you get with a really good square. It kind of leaps off the crisp, as it were. Like, it's really fragrant.
That's really nice. What the Heston Blumenthal thing... If he was giving someone chips, he had a little spritzer.
An atomizer.
With vinegar in, and he'd just squirt into the air around them, because actually it was the smell of the vinegar with the chip that gave you everything you wanted without actually making the chip particularly vinegary.
He's a clever fella, isn't he?
I would still want to pour vinegar all over my chips, though. Yeah, spray the vinegar in my face, ruin my clothes, you big old prick. Sarsons, I was in the shops the other day. Sainsbury's. And in the vinegar aisle, there's Sarsons. Always go Sarsons. And now there's Sarsons Extra Strong.
Oh.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, I buy Sarsons in the 5-litre catering things.
Wow. Actually.
Yeah. And I've got my own little vinegar. I've got my own little vinegar thinger as well.
Why?
Because I don't want to run out ever.
You buy the massive,
It's cost.
How much vinegar are you drinking, man? How many pints of this stuff?
It lasts. It's vinegar.
Yeah,
it's preserved itself.
5 litres of vinegar. You know, you get those multi-packs of toilet roll.
Like
24 rolls.
Yeah.
I always feel a bit weird buying massive packs of toilet roll.
Like you're a really plucky
person. Everyone's looking at me just going, you all right, mate? oh, no, it's for my... it's for my mate.
Like, for my mate?
I can't go beyond 9.
Ask me the last number of toilet rolls I bought.
What's the last number of toilet rolls you bought?
48.
You see, I couldn't do it. Was it an online shop?
It was an online
shop.
There
you go.
But specifically, and this is another plug, Nicks and Kicks move aside, while I plug, who gives a crap?
What's this?
It's ethical toilet paper.
Yeah.
You buy them in bulk.
Pre-shitted.
They do kitchen roll and tissue box tissues, but you have to basically buy them in bulk.
Yeah.
And they come wrapped in paper, and also there's no plastic and anything like that. And then I forget what the ratio is, but basically for every box that you buy, they give £5 to an irrigation and sanitation project somewhere in the developing world.
Well, that's a worthy cause.
So it's like minimum plastics, great. The toilet paper itself, I think, is recycled.
Right.
It's not in your Andrex Ultra...
Padded quilted.
Yeah, exactly. Like wiping your ass on a duvet.
Yeah.
But nor should it be. If you talk to the water authority, they're like fatbergs and everything's clogging up. I was evangelical about those wet bum wipes for a while.
Until you realize they don't dissolve.
It says flushable on them. I assume that meant they dissolved. No, it literally just means you can flush
them.
But they just are basically clogging up the whole of the London sewer system.
You can flush them. They're only going to go about 10 metres.
Yeah.
But you can flush them.
They may as well write edible on them. Choke them down. But yeah, who gives a crap? They're brilliant. They're really, really good. I don't know if they're still doing them, but at Christmas, all of the toilet papers, because they come in a little paper wrapper, they got some designer to do like a Christmas scene. And then you can give them to the kids to colour in because they were like little Christmas scenes and whatever.
Whilst they're sat on it.
I know where your mind was going there. Yeah, it was like, what were they using to colour in, Tom?
Yes.
What
were
they using to colour in?
Guys, what's that in the distance?
Where?
Hark.
Over there. Got a little red hat on.
The herald Stephen sings. He flies in from his big fat wings. He's landing a packet of Christmas crisps right upon my lap. Thank you very much, Stephen.
Hey, look at these. Guys, we have festive crisps.
Festive crisps. So normally in this segment, Rufus, we have foreign crisps.
Yeah.
But because it's Christmas, Stephen has kindly dropped us in some festive crisps.
Now, you'd think with Walkers bringing out those Brussels sprout flavour ones, we'd try those.
Yeah, you'd think, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Or those pigs in blanket ones.
Yeah.
You'd think, actually, he'd just drop off a multi-pack and we could try them all.
Yeah.
He hasn't, though, has he?
No.
Couldn't find them, could he?
No, he was shocked.
Stephen really conveyed a lot of information with his eyes as he flew over there, didn't he?
He's an empath. What we have.
So let me get this straight. You know an empathic seagull, and yet you've done a podcast about crisps.
So these are Marks and Spencer's. It says the collection. Okay. I hate when things say the collection because everything's a collection in whatever. Winter berries and sparkling Prosecco, hand cooked crisps.
You know what? They can kiss my whole asshole.
Enjoy That's a touch of festive fizz with a crisp, fruity, sparkling wine and hints of raspberry and blackcurrant.
No, I'm not going to have wine with my crisps.
I'm telling you here and now, not what they taste like.
I'm really hoping these are flushable.
Right.
Don't remind me what flavour they are because I've forgotten already.
They are.
Let me see if I can taste it.
For the listener at home, they look like a posh...
Oh, my God!
A posh sort of crisp.
What the hell is that?
And
they've
as you...
They've got sparkles on them! Look at those! What is that? It's stars! There's little golden stars on them!
Oh.
Right.
That is not going down.
Oh, because they smell of nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, I was nearly sick then.
I can't smell
it. I was genuinely nearly sick.
They just smell like sunflower oil.
Yeah.
Is all they smell of.
Oh, but the thing is, the taste isn't that strong. That's what's horrible about it. It's like, you know when you drink water out of a cup that's had squash in it before?
Yeah.
And you get that faint taste of squash and it's kind of horrible?
What? Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's horrible.
Don't tell me you like them.
That tastes like you're at a picnic.
Yeah.
And you've got a bowl of crisps as part of the picnic.
Yeah.
And a kid's gone past with his little, like, juice box.
Yes.
And as he's gone past, it's sort of a bit's gone over the crisps and no one's spotted it. And they've been left out in the sun.
Yes.
And so there's not enough of any one flavour, but when you eat it, you just go, oh, no, that is obviously horrible and something is very wrong with that.
Oh, I've just had a square to get rid of the taste.
I honestly think, even though they're subtle, I promise you I'm not exaggerating when I say that's one of the most disgusting things I've ever eaten in my entire life.
I agree.
That berry thing of there being a... So my wife has this whole thing about a sweet thing in a savoury context. Pineapple on a pizza or...
Mm-hmm. Like against it.
A raisin in a...
A curry or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My mum makes coronation chicken, I love it, but my wife can't do it. That's like the worst version of it because it's not real fruit, but it's a flavour of fruit in something that just it has no business being there
at all. That's just like pushing a ripe banana into a spaghetti bolognese with your hand.
It smells of nothing.
No, just the oil. That's all you can smell.
I'm really confused by this because when I first tasted that, it reminded me of something dead. Like a dead, I don't know what it is. I've eaten something that it's a dead thing.
Jesus Christ.
Does anyone know what I'm talking about?
Well, kind of like, I mean, I think if you bit into, like, if you had to lick roadkill and that freshness of blood.
Yeah, it tastes like blood.
I've eaten a second one.
Why?
Well, because I don't actually find it, like, unbearably unpleasant as much as I find it confounding and I'm trying to make sense of what this is. It's very dependent on how much dust is on it as to what you actually get. That last one I had could have been a fruit crisp. It was so raspberry.
Thing, right?
Hey, how do you boys feel about those Tyrrell's, like, parsnip crisps and beetroot crisps?
Don't even get it started with that, my friend.
If you're going to make a parsnip crisp and garnish a nice game meal with it, fine. I don't want to eat a whole bag of them.
I mean, they're ghastly.
We had
the kale ones from Pret. Well, we had them on the show, didn't we?
We had some parsnip crisps on the show from, like, East London.
Right.
That were just, like, manuka honey.
Haircut crisps.
No, fuck off.
Yes, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gross.
Fuck all the way off and take your crisps with you.
Yeah, thank you. So, the way this segment works, I think I already know the answer, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. You get the opportunity to swap in our festive crisps for one of your choices, Rufus.
Well, Tom, I've heard you ask the question.
Thank you.
And I suppose the only way to answer it is this.
Oh, Jesus! Oh, not the guts! That's not you as well.
And at that point, I'd like you very much to edit in the sound effect of me giving Tom an absolute hiding. Like a real, as violent a series of sound effects as you can layer up.
Okay. I've worked out why it felt like something dead.
Go on.
And it's because, you know when you have a juice that's off?
Yes.
Yes. Right?
And it's gone fizzy.
Yeah.
And you have a and you go, oh God, it's gone.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It tastes gippy.
I just honestly don't understand why all this money and like R&D went into this. They've got to design the packets, they've got to cook it and make it and order the potatoes and put them out. Who on God's sparkly earth is going sitting down with Prosecco Chris going, they're actually really nice.
Yeah.
Who?
But it's one of those things about, you know, late stage capitalism. They're not imagining people are coming back for another packet of those. You don't eat one of those and go, oh, I'm going to get some more of them.
Wow.
They're a seasonal thing.
Yeah.
They're going to make 10,000 packs of it. Oh. You'll be walking around at Christmas go, ooh,
exactly.
Ooh, a Prosecco crisp. Marge loves Prosecco.
Yeah, yeah.
She might love these.
And crisps. Together.
And you'll buy one pack and you put them out and you'll eat them and go, everyone who tastes those will go, oh, fuck it. Yeah. But it's not enough money that you would then go back to Marks and Spencer's and go, hey, excuse me, I bought these crisps and they're disgusting.
Mm.
You just go, oh, well, take it on the chin. And amongst
you,
all
you
the other
you say that,
Spencer,
but I'm inclined to sue.
If anyone listening had a positive experience with any
then
kind
stop
of
listening
Winterberry
to the podcast.
Sparkling Prosecco type crisp, please hit us up on the socials and we will quickly unfollow you.
I'll tell you... The one thing I would say, if we had to look for one thing in that crisp's favour, is I've never seen a little gold star on a crisp before.
No,
and I thought that was actually rather a festive, lovely touch. But I'm guessing that that little star doesn't taste of anything. Therefore, if you're Smith's or Walker's, then maybe you can do a Christmas Monster Munch or a Christmas Square and just pop these little stars on.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I found that very pleasing.
Rufus, we have your choices. We have roast beef Monster Munch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scampi fries.
Yeah.
Salt and vinegar squares.
Yumzilla.
There's no debatable choices there. They're all solid, solid crisp choices.
You didn't go for the festive fruit crisps?
No. You also get, I didn't know if you know this, you get to take a soft drink to the island.
Oh.
Yes.
I would recommend this Nicks and Kicks. You come with me with a little KN for a happy pick-me-up. It's a delicious drink. And yes, I would happily pay cost.
As is often the case with me, I'm trying to think of something to make myself sound interesting.
No, don't do
it's Coke Zero, isn't it?
Could you not say dandelion and burdock?
You could. It's not what you want.
You know, all those like little Fentimans flavours.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Pink lemonade.
Smashing that. Oh, yeah. It's Coke Zero, isn't it? This is Coke Zero. But if I ordered Coke Zero and Dr. Pepper Zero turned up instead, I would be equally fine with that.
Mm.
I don't think that's a mistake any vendor would make.
No, it seems unlikely to go that way round.
Now that zero drinks are so ubiquitous, I think they've probably ironed out that common mistake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, John, that's Dr. Pepper. That's the Coke.
I'm going to politely move us forward into our dip section. You also get a dip upon the island.
Yeah.
You haven't really got the best crisps for dipping.
No.
None of these are good dipping
crisps. You're
not
dipping a Monster Munch.
No.
You're not dipping a scampi fry.
Ooh. Oh, you could into the shrimp primula.
Yeah.
I think nothing.
You'd
imagine
want tweezers, wouldn't you? Almost. You want to.
Well, what you do is you bite the end off and then like a little cup.
Yeah.
Like a little scoop.
Okay.
A little paddle, yeah.
Yeah.
But actually, just going to go for one of those slightly posh hummuses.
Okay.
With, I think, like a little drizzle of something on top.
Oh dear, some caramelised onions, perchance.
No, not the onion one.
Unless it's a drizzle of lemon juice or olive oil, you need to get out of your dressing room now.
I think it was like a very thin honey, and it just gave it a bit of... you know those pita chips? get a pita bread,
yeah,
cut it up into bits, and then over-bake it so it becomes very crispy.
Yeah.
Those in that hummus with the... And they was it made of chickpeas and then pine
tahini.
Nuts?
Tahini.
Sesame.
Sesame seed puree, yeah.
But this whatever the posh one I'm thinking of with the drizzle on top had little, what I think were pine nuts on the top.
I know the one you're talking about. It's quite a runny one. It's got little pine nuts on top and they put a little herby drizzle.
That was it.
It's nice, but my favourite, if you're a Waitrose man, Waitrose standard down the line hummus.
Yep.
Love it.
A big bag of carrot battens.
Mm. Yeah, I'd probably just eat them with crisps. I
would. He drinks lager.
Crisps.
Okay. Rufus Hound. Thank you so much.
Tom and Sam, thank you for saving me from the perils of the ocean here on your magical crisp island.
Welcome. We'll see you around and enjoy your crisps.
Thanks. Can I just check one thing with you, though?
Yes.
There's a lot of people that wash up on this island.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And yet you're the only two here. Are you sure it's only the crisps you're eating?
Let's not talk about how we're getting our protein.
Well, I haven't seen Jade in a while, have you?
Sam,
no. Where is Jade, Sam?
I ate her.
She's been grated up.
Thank you so much for listening to Desert Island Crisps. Please find us on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter at Desert Crisps. Special thank you as always to producer Adam Loveday Brown, editor Mikey Loveday, Ollie Kilby for the art and Phil Surtees for the music. Catch you next time. We'll be here. Always.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.